Go with me back to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is one of those messages where I pray the Lord will put our hearts, put our ears and our hearts in the right place to hear it. And I pray He'll put our minds in the right place to think on it and ponder it. I think a lot about the fact that I have so much time to think about these things and ponder these things before the Lord touches my heart with it. And you go from nothing to... And sometimes you have to be put in a place. You have to be prepared to hear something, to really enter into something. And this verse and this line and this subject matter deserves some pondering. And I want to encourage you to ask the Lord to prepare you for this. I'm going to read this line to you and then just give you a second to ponder it. Everybody is big these days on a moment of silence. You know, we'll have a moment. Well, that's what this deserves. This deserves a moment of silence to really just enter into this. Look at verse 7. 1 Peter 2, verse 7. It says, "Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious." That's the truth, isn't it? "Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious." He is precious. The word precious means all value. "Unto you that believe," He is all value. The word means all honor to the highest degree. "Unto you, therefore, that believe," Christ is precious. He is so precious. Unto God the Father and God the Spirit. When we talk about God, we're talking about the three persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. Unto God the Father and God the Spirit, Christ is precious. He is so precious to the Father. Everything has been placed in the hands of the Son. All the Father's love, all the Father's affection. The Spirit will not even speak of Himself, but will only speak of Christ, will only point men to Christ. Unto God, Christ is precious. Unto the entire host of heaven, all the angels, and all the cherubims, and all the seraphims, and everything that's there, Christ is precious. And unto all of God's people, they feel the exact same way. We all cry, "Amen." To those of us who believe, and that's the key, is to those of us who believe, Christ is so precious. Now, the word "precious" is in the Scripture quite a few times for quite a few reasons. But the places we're going to turn to tonight all have to do with what makes Christ precious to us. What makes Christ precious to God's people? What precious things about Christ makes Him precious to us? There are many things that the Scripture says are precious to God, and that would be a wonderful thing to look at too. So many things are precious to God. But our text tonight in verse 7, it says, "Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious." To you that believe, He's precious. So I want us to look at the things concerning Christ that make Him precious. And before we even get into this, I just want to say, what doesn't make Him precious to us? I mean, really, what things are there about Him that are not precious to us? There is nothing concerning Him that's not precious to us. We're going to spend all of eternity dwelling on the things concerning Christ that are precious to us. That's how we're going to spend all of our eternity. Everything is precious to us. But for tonight, for the sake of this time and this outline, we're going to just consider some things that the Scripture says make Him precious to us right now. And I believe as we go through this, we'll very clearly be able to see and say, yes, that is so precious. He definitely is precious because of that right there. Starting with this first one, okay? Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Peter 1, verse 17. It says, "And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." He said, you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. You were not bought. You were not paid for with corruptible things like silver and gold. If a man has to pay his silver and his gold, if, you know, I thought about the fact that tax season is coming up. I haven't gotten my taxes back yet. I don't know if I'm going to have to pay or if I'm going to get a refund. I have no idea. I'm always thinking the worst. If a man has to pay his silver and gold, that may be something that he doesn't want to do. That may be something he deeply regrets doing. If he loses his silver and his gold, what if the economy crashes and we literally lose it all? If a man loses his silver and his gold, that may be something he just deeply does not want to happen and does not want to see happen. But if a man loses his blood, if something costs a man his blood, that's not just regret or loss. That's the end of life as he knows it. That makes a man's blood infinitely more precious, infinitely more valuable to him. And that's talking about a man who has sinful, corruptible blood in his body. How much more the spotless, incorruptible, sinless blood of the Lamb of God? How much more the blood of Christ Himself? That's what was given to pay the redemption price for our sinful, wretched souls. Precious blood. All value was given to pay the price. That is something that every time I think about that just astounds me. The most priceless substance of heaven, the blood of Jesus Christ Himself. That's what God gave. All the value of heaven was given for something that possessed no value in itself at all. None whatsoever. God willingly gave the life of heaven. The life is in the blood, the Scripture says, and that's how it is in our salvation. The life is in the blood. If we want to know where eternal life is, it's in the blood. God gave the life of heaven to redeem the death of man. He did that to pay the price of death for sinful man. Now, you talk about an unspeakable gift. You talk about amazing grace. Amazing grace. What an amazing gift. That's what the song means. What an amazing gift. The blood of Jesus Christ. In the blood of Jesus Christ. By the blood of Jesus Christ. God gave everything. He gave everything to redeem a bunch of nothings. God gave everything to redeem a bunch of nothings. That makes Him precious to us, doesn't it? That makes him so precious to us. Where our sin abounded, the grace of Christ in the blood of Christ infinitely more abounded, and that makes him so precious to us. His precious blood, that's the first thing that makes him precious to us. All right, here's the next thing. Look at 2 Peter. We're in 1 Peter. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter 1, verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He said, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. And the key to faith being precious is in the fact that we have obtained it. That's what makes it precious. It's in the fact that we have obtained it. That's something that God's people know that the rest of this world does not have a clue of. If any man or woman is going to have faith, God is going to have to give it to them. God has to give it to them. That is a precious gift from God. We cannot conjure it up on our own, and that's what, you know, men are standing in pulpits telling people to do. Conjure up something they don't even possess. That's what people naturally think they need to just, you know, make more of and create more of. We don't even possess it. We cannot take it upon ourselves to exercise it. We don't possess it until God gives it to us. He has to give it to us. Hold your place and turn over to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 16, it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. If we could ever really get a hold of that, that is an amazing statement. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. I believe this is one of the clearest verses on what faith really is. We believe in Jesus Christ. Most people do. Most people do believe in Jesus Christ. But we believe that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Isn't that always so relieving every time you hear that? It's a reminder again. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Faith is not of ourselves. Faith is of Jesus Christ. This is in His hands. The ball is in His court. It is totally in His court. Faith only originates in one place. It only comes from one place. There's one source of faith, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And if we're going to have any, it's going to have to come from Him. Ephesians 2 says, we are His workmanship. Philippians 2 says, it is God that worketh in us. And Philippians 1 says, if God has begun the work in us, He will perform the work all the way to the end. Hebrews 12 says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. The apostle said, Lord, would you increase our faith? Would you increase our faith? It's the only possible way that our faith can be increased. And does that cause us to understand how precious it is if he chooses to give it to us? You know, it's kind of like people think, well, it's my fault. I didn't exercise my faith. That's not it at all. We need to understand how precious it is if he chooses to give any to us in the first place. If he chooses to give the grain of a mustard seed to us in the first place. He gives it only to whoever he's pleased to give it to. And it is something that I know I take for granted. We shouldn't take it for granted. That we believe God, that we believe on Christ, that we believe it's of Christ. It's a special, favorable bestowment of life unto the acknowledgement of our salvation when it comes. So, seeing the faith of Christ that has been freely given to us, that makes him precious to us, that he would choose to give it to us. Thank God he would take his faith and give it to us, this like precious faith. That's what has brought every one of us here tonight, like precious faith. Faith. Freely, graciously, lovingly, generously bestowed. That makes Christ to be so precious to us. His blood that he gave for us, that makes him precious. His faith that he has given to us, that makes him precious. All right, here's the next thing. Go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, I had you hold your place in 2 Peter. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1, verse 3, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith, like precious faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You're in heaviness, you're in sorrow, you're in weariness through many trials that just keep coming, just wave after wave of trials. Verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Not only does the faith that Christ has given to us, not only does that faith cause us to look to him and cause us to believe on him, not only does the faith itself make Christ to be precious to us, but the trying of that faith. The trying of that faith. He said, you have joy, and you do. And he said, you're looking for Christ, and you're waiting for Christ, whom having not seen, you love. And I love that line because it's so true. Whom having not seen, we love. He's precious to us, and we love him. But he said, if need be, right now you're going through trials because the trying of your faith, that testing of faith, that proving of faith, those trials make Christ to be precious to us. Now, I just want to say that nobody here wants trials. Nobody here does. I don't want them. I do not want them. But whether we want them or not, they're going to come anyway. They're just going to come anyway. And I'll tell you this, when they come, they're going to cause us to sincerely realize what Christ means to us. The greater the trial, the more we're going to realize what Christ means to us. When trials are not on us, we think very little of our Savior. I'm not saying we think little of Him. I'm saying we don't think of Him often. We don't think of Him fervently. When trials are not on us, we're just so selfish. We're just so selfish. We're so consumed with ourselves and so consumed with everything we're into. And it's just so sad to say. But the one thing we definitely don't really enter into is the great trial of our Savior on the cross, the great trial that He endured. All the deliverance He accomplished. We believe, but our minds and our hearts, they're constantly so sidetracked. I mean, just with everything. They're taken up with everything, every unimportant, insignificant thing in this world. We're just so consumed with it. And it just, again, it amazes me how the things of this world so easily consume us. You start thinking about a movie or a song or a vacation or a who knows what, and you can't get your mind off of it. You can't stop thinking about it. You try to think about the things of Christ, and you can't keep your mind on it to save your life, to save your own life. But honestly, let a great trial come to you. I mean, a great trial. And everything else goes away, doesn't it? Everything else in this world just goes away. When trials come, Christ becomes precious to us. And again, I don't want trials and you don't want trials. But our comfort is when they come, they are going to cause Christ to be very precious to us. They're going to make Him to be very precious to us. Everything else will get stripped away, and Christ will become all that matters. The deep trial of faith, that's what causes us to realize that there really is only one thing needful in this life. Come the end of this life, we only need one thing. We need Christ. We need faith in Christ. We need the blood of Christ. That's it. Come the last day, when the last day comes, He is going to be very precious to us. How precious do you think He will be on the day of judgment? He'll be very, very precious. The trial of our faith is truly so precious. Painful? Absolutely. But precious. Every single trial that comes makes Christ to be just that much more precious to us. So His blood is precious. His faith is precious. The trial of that faith is precious. And here's the next thing. I'll be quick. Look back at 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Chapter 1. Verse 3, it says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The exceeding great promises of the Word are precious. What our Lord has said to us, do we not hold to these things? Are we not counting on these things and hoping in these things? Or is our hope not truly waiting for these promises to come true? What our Lord has said to us in the pages of this book, these words make Him to be precious to us. Everything that He has sworn to us that He cannot lie in, He will not, cannot change His mind on. He will not alter one promise in this book. The promises of love, the promises of redemption, deliverance, reinstatement, man walked with God, was one with God. That's what's going to happen. We're going to be reinstated with God. Fellowship, adoption, inheritance, union, the promises that He will never leave us, never forsake us. I want to be with Him, and I don't want Him to ever leave me after that. He made a promise that He won't. The promises that He has prepared a place for us. I want to go somewhere. I want to go to a city that has foundations. I want to go see things that my eyes have never seen and my ears have never heard and my heart has never imagined. I want to experience that. I want to be in His image. He has promised us that in just a minute, we're going to be in His image. In just a minute, any minute now, we're going to be in His image. The promise of life. I don't want to die. You know, God's people are always saying, well, I'm ready to go be with the Lord. That does not mean I want to die. That means I'm ready to start living. It's about time to lay down death. I'm sick and tired of death. Let's go live. Life, liberty, happiness. That's in Christ. That's in the Lord Jesus Christ. All the promises of God, which are so much higher than anything we've ever imagined, they make Christ to be precious to us. Very quickly, look at Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 14, it says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Does that not make Him precious to us? Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. I'm counting on this right here. I'm just counting on this. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Does that not make him precious to us? His blood is precious. His faith is precious. The trial of that faith is precious. Every promise in this word is precious. It makes him to be precious to us. And here's the last thing we'll consider tonight. It's in Psalm 139. Turn with me over to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 17, it says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." When trials cause us to think on Him, that's a precious moment. When these trials come and they turn our minds and our hearts to Him, that's a precious moment. But do you know what an infinitely more precious moment is? When the Lord Jesus Christ thinks on us. Infinitely more. We love Him, but it's not that we loved Him, it's that He loved us. We think on Him, but the glory of our salvation is not in the fact that we think on Him. It's in the fact that He thinks on us. And He knows us and longs for us. You know why He went to the cross? He longed for us. We desire to be with Him, but the greater glory is that He desires to be with us. I told you about a conversation I had a long time ago with a guy that I was already here. I was already pastor, and it was right after I got here. But anyway, he was asking me about the church, and I was answering his questions, and he realized I could see it all over his face. This was not going like he thought it was going to go, and the conversation, you know, he was wanting out. He was trying to back out, and so he was going to end it by saying, he said, "Just tell me this, do you love Jesus?" And I said, "I do. I do. But my greater concern is, does He love me? Does He love me?" And all of God's people think on the Lord Jesus Christ. We do. Yes, we do. But our greater concern and the hope of our salvation is in the fact that He thinks on us. Can you, in your eyes of faith and your heart of faith, can you envision Him sitting on His throne, taking His precious time to think on us? What is man that Thou art mindful of us? Here we are just thinking on Him, and there He is thinking on us. And just to hear Him say that His thoughts toward us are more than can be numbered. We're all ashamed of how many thoughts we have toward Him. His thoughts toward us can't even be numbered. Verse 18 says, "If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand." That makes Him so precious to me. And for a child of God, that preciousness will never end. That's what's precious to me. Once the sin is gone, that heart of feeling this way will never go away. That preciousness will never end. Even when it comes time to lay down in sleep here on this earth, the very end of verse 18, it says, when I awake, I'm still with thee. We're with him now. We'll be with him forever. And that makes him precious to us. Unto you, therefore, that believe. Can't we all say amen to that? He is so, so precious. All right, let's all stand together.